This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. Well, you've been hearing a show over the last several months now called Food Chat, and that is by our good friend Greg Bloom and also Chef Jackson Lamb. And I thought, you know what? Hey, you get to hear them on the show, but I wanted to give a little insight to their show and to these two guys that are hosting this show. So I asked them if they would hang around here in the studio for a little bit and do exactly that. Give you some insights to Food Chat, which you hear every Wednesday here on KLZ 560. So, Greg, first of all, welcome. Good to see you again.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on your show. It's absolutely good to see. Good to be here.
So, how is it different now? You did a lot of interviews, John Rush, myself, different things, and you were the guest. And now you're doing some interviews. How's it feeling different?
Well, it's a lot more work, as you know, to line up your own guests and think of questions. Yeah. And you just never know when you invite a guest on the show, even if you know the person.
Sure.
You don't know if they're going to be very verbose,
right,
and have a lot to say, or if you're going to get very short answers and you need to have quick follow-up. So there's a little bit of, you know, what's the word? You know, just going to, you know, going along with it, you know?
Absolutely.
Ad-libbing it.
Yeah. And you know what's weird is sometimes I've met with people, you know, at a Starbucks or something, and like, man, they're going to be great.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just so knowledgeable. And then they get in here, and they just freeze, you know? And so it's like, you don't know.
It's a little intimidating, yeah. I think, with the studio.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also, Chef Jackson Lamb, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Scott.
But you guys, I just want to say, you guys have done a great, great job on the show. I listen every week and giving some real insights to food. And what an interesting topic, food.
Well, you know what? You know, when I was in 10th grade, okay, this is before computers. This is in the previous century, okay? But somewhere along the line in high school, you take an aptitude test. And when my results came back, they said, well, you'd be a good forest ranger.
What?
Forest ranger? I was in the Boy Scouts. That made sense.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I'd be a good police officer. My dad was on the job, so that made sense. Or you'd be an insurance salesman. Or a restaurant manager. And so, wow. You know, thinking about it, I'm thinking, boy, you know, with Earth Day and Forest Ranger, there might not be any more trees when I grow up, and so I won't have a job. But I realized when I was in 10th grade that everybody has to eat.
Yep.
And I figured if I could develop that skill set, I'll never be bored. And I'm not. Mm-hmm. And the world of food is absolutely fascinating. Anyway, I've got some great stories to share, but I'll throw it back to you, Scott.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I've never cooked anything in my life, really. I mean, you know, Victoria's a great cook, and I'll do some meats and steaks and different things. But as far as getting in an oven and baking or doing, I've just never done that in my life. Mm-hmm. What am I missing, Greg?
Well, you know, it's not for everybody. Some people love to cook and some people don't. So I like to cook because it's relaxing and I like to innovate and create. And, you know, I've been blessed that 30 years of selling food means I drag a bag into the back of a restaurant, mm-hmm, and see a chef like Jackson, and then I show him the meat I'm selling, and then I watch what he's going to do with it. And I just learn from what chefs do with the meat. So that's been fun.
So how's, and we can just make this a little roundtable discussion, but how has food changed when you look at, you know, 50 years ago to 25 years ago to 10 years ago? I mean, how has our food evolved and what most of us are buying at our supermarkets today?
Yeah, I think that packaging has really changed. And we're not done with that yet. We're trying to figure out how to get out of the plastic business. And we're trying, mm-hmm, to figure out if there's some sort of a biodegradable option there. But yeah, the way we see food marketed and then packaged today, you know, I hate to promote any particular store, so I'll try not to, but there's one store that I go to. It's the only store I would ever have to go to. Everything is in small portions of two people.
Right.
And, you know, I can go in there and spend $50 and get through the week. So it's that has changed tremendously. But, Scott, I will tell you that in 1994, the Food Network debuted. And after a year, everybody thought they were a gourmet. And it really changed the way people came into restaurants. You know, they see Bobby Flay for three episodes and they think they know what a beurre blanc is. And, you know, they're starting to ask the servers all these questions that they really don't know the answers to. Mm-hmm. So, but I think the Food Network has brought about a better awareness of what the foods are. You know, some of the shows now, they get into some exotic stuff. You know, a veal cheek. Oh, what are you going to do with that thing, you know? But they sell them, right? Mm-hmm. So as a result, you know, we see products out there. So I think in the last 50 years, we've seen more innovation in waste product. I will say that also. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the food industry is trying to, especially on proteins, what else can we do with these rib? Applebee's wants us to cut off the ends of the ribs so that we can make baby back ribs. What about these little things? Well, those are ribettes, and they just invented a new product. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes I think innovation comes when we've got to, you know, look towards the sustainability and how to maintain a profit.
Right. So, Greg, when Food Chat, your show here, became a brainchild to you, tell our listeners, maybe some of those haven't caught it yet, kind of what it's all about.
Well, the mission of Food Chat is to fix the disconnect. Less than 1.5% of Americans are involved in food production. These are people living in the rural areas, not the Front Range, but, you know, and so that means that people really don't know how food is grown, mm-hmm. how much inputs, work, time it takes to raise food, whether it's produce or fruits or, you know, maybe it's a meat product. But so my idea behind Food Chat and what we try to do every week is to fix that disconnect and help people just get reconnected to their food. That's our mission, is to get people reconnected to their food, know where food comes from. And, you know, I think that's important. I think, you know, people aren't going to stop eating. So I think there's sometimes a lack of appreciation for how that product gets to the supermarket by people. And it's not that, you know, they're not, you know, I don't blame them. I'll throw darts at them, but it's mm-hmm. just they don't know what they don't know.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Greg, I find that a lot of people, in fact, I'll just citing growing up, my mom had 10 or 12 basic dishes. That was it. You know, and that goes back to 50 sure. years ago, Scott. You know, we had the mac and cheese. We had the meatloaf. We had the pot roast, you know. We had all of those classic 1960 casserole-type dishes. So, you know, and we've seen that change over the years as mm-hmm. well. So, very interesting. Yeah, a lot of people get stuck into the same old, same old. You know, my brother and sister-in-law, they came out for a visit a couple of years ago. And, you know, this is a his wife will cook tilapia four times a week, you know. And talk about a boring menu planning session. They're here. I don't know what to do with them. And I say, hey, well, we went to, you know, the, I can't remember the name.
The carniceria. One of them. Did you go to a carniceria or did you go to?
Los Mercado.
Oh, Los Mercado.
Los Mercado. And she was so enthralled with produce she's never seen before. It's coming up from Mexico. You know, the way, wait a second, we don't cut our meat this way. Look at the way the chicken is cut. Right. She starts a buying spree like I can't believe. It's fantastic. So I think that people, even though she was stuck in cooking the same thing all the time, she was not closed off to new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
We got done in there. I'm thinking, now what am I going to do with them? I said, you want to go to the Asian market? Oh, the Asian market? We went over here to H Mart. I couldn't get them out of there. And so as a result, I think a lot of times different people in different parts of the country aren't exposed to a lot of the different things. You know, when we travel, a lot of times we're trying to get local food from.
Sure,
you know,
we're looking for one.
Yeah, we go out to the beach. I'm looking for clams and oysters, you know. Right. So it's, you know, we try to find whatever the local is. And so, and not that my brother and sister-in-law have been to Mexico, but when they do go, they're going to have a little familiarity with what's served down there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Once again, it is Food Chat. You can hear it on Wednesdays, 12:30 to 1, right here on KLZ 560. And, Greg, tell us about some of the guests that you guys have had and some that you're planning on having.
Yeah, we've had some great guests since we started the show. We've had Dr. Temple Grandin on. She's at Colorado State University, Chef Jackson Lamb's alma mater. He went to CSU, and she talked about, you know, her life's work making the quality of life for beef and pigs in particular, but chickens too, mm-hmm. better, that are going into meat production. And she's not done yet, even though she's in her mid-70s nearly. She's still working hard on that mission of hers and now training the next generation. So we had Temple Grandin on, and we've had several. Because Colorado is such a prolific beef-producing state,
right.
we've had beef producers on. We've had a feedlot owner on. Dan Timmerman came on. A couple weeks ago, we had one of the beef buyers for the largest meat company in the world, located in Greeley, Colorado, the formerly Montfort, now owned by JBS, talk about what he does for a living, buying cattle. What does he look for? How does he do it? So that was interesting. What other guests that we had on, Chef Jackson, that you remember?
We had the cheese people from Brush. Well, they were tremendous. The Mexican
artisan
cheeses.
Queso Campesino. Yeah.
Absolutely. Where they found the factory in Brush, and they said, let's go to Mexico for 3 years and learn how to do this the right way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they came back. So... fantastic.
And they're making that authentic Mexican cheese right here for all the Mexican restaurants
right.
that people eat out at.
Sure.
Yeah.
We had the public relations director from the Colorado Restaurant Association on. We talked about the various food events that happen during the summertime and into the fall here in Denver. And there's no shortage of them. The barbecue bash, the burger bash, the Denver Food and Wine Classic, Top Taco, the chicken fight. You know, we are a food-centric city when it comes to those food events. And so,
how would you rate Denver for food? I mean, you guys travel quite a bit.
Well, you know, it's so...
What are we missing? What are we missing?
Well, COVID really kind of, you know, knocked the dust out of everything.
And, yeah, for sure.
You know, there's when you do go to other cities, we don't have a lot of representation from the Middle East. There's not a lot of Greek restaurants. There's not a lot of Israeli restaurants. I've been to a couple of them. They're excellent. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've heard, you know, I've been to Montrose, and they have a Tibetan restaurant. We don't have that in Denver, but they have it in Montrose. So, you know, I think that, you know, that's another part of the whole immigration process.
Yeah.
You know, you get somebody. I'll tell you, here's a funny story. Let's just say I'm running a restaurant, and a kid walks in, and he's from Venezuela. Came across just like everybody else has been. Turns out he's a chef, and he's a professional in Venezuelan coastal cuisine.
Wow.
I can't hire him. Illegal immigrant. So right now we have an immigration thing where people are crawling, coming across the border. We could hire and put these people to work. There's no infrastructure set up to do that.
Wow.
So anyway, when we go back to, what are we missing here? Venezuelan restaurants. We're missing Argentinian restaurants. You know, and we're going to see a proliferation of that in the next 5 to 10 years because of the immigrant situation, mm-hmm. which I welcome. I think is absolutely fantastic. But we probably got to get a control of the numbers a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, it's Food Chat here on Wednesdays, 12:30 to 1. Greg Bloom, Chef Jackson Lamb, and a lot of great guests, as they've mentioned. And I'm telling you, these guys know their business. And I hope that you will join them right after our show here. With Haystack Help Radio on Wednesdays, 12:30 to 1. Last 60 seconds, Greg, for our segment here. But prices, man, where's this? You think we've leveled out right now?
Not in meat production, because everything lags. The inputs that a farmer uses for fertilizer and the herbicides they use, and even the boxes that they order, usually those are 6 to 12 months behind you know, them hitting the grocery stores. So I think we're going to continue to see food inflation, but it's all relative. America still pays less for food than most other nations
sure.
in the world. So we're spoiled. You know, food, I think we spend 15% of our budget on food. You know, other countries spend 30%. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think relatively it's still going to be affordable, even though, you know, the Thanksgiving meal cost everybody more this year. Everybody still had turkey and sure. all the fixings. So, but no, I think it's still going to continue to climb, and then hopefully to level off.
All right. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, guys, again, great job on the show.
Thank you very
much.
We
look forward to this continuing. And again, it is Food Chat Wednesdays, 12:30 to 1, right here on KLZ 560. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll take a quick break and be back with more right after this.
Thinking rates are too high to buy a home? Wish they were in the threes or fours? Well, your wait is over. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With a 3-2-1 buy down, you can now purchase a home at 3.193% first year, 4.913% second, 5.913 the third, and the remaining years at 6.913 with an APR of 6.985. If rates go down, refinance and save even more. On a $400,000 loan, your monthly payment would be over $748 a month less the first year, $511 the second, 262 the third, with a total savings of over $18,000. Before you buy, take AIM, 720-895-0500. 3-to-1 buy-downs available up to 95% loan-to-value. If you're thinking about home ownership, now may be the best time to purchase. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Own your new home and save thousands in payments. That's 720-895-0500. 80% LTV, 30-year fixed, 6.985% APR, 740 FICO, primary home, rates as of 11/16, NMLS 298191, and rates subject to change.
Hey, before we get back to the show, I just want to take a minute and say a personal word about Stack Optical. I've been going to Allen for over 10 years, and it's with great confidence that I can say you should trust all of your optical needs to Stack Optical as well. Allen, which you've heard on our show many times, has been taking care of his customers since 1968, and yes, it's still family-owned and operated. So if it's time for your eye exam, I hope you'll call 303-321-1578 and get your eye exam scheduled. And folks, it's only $69. So go check out the great selection of frames. And since Stack Optical has their own on-site lab, you'll have your new glasses in just a couple of days. So for glasses, prescription sunglasses, contacts, and even repairs, go see Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. The number is 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com, and it's Stack Optical. You'll see the difference.
Hey, Dan, you know our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Once again, thank you so much for being with us. Glad to have Greg Bloom hang with us here. You can hear Greg here on Wednesdays on Food Chat, 12:30 to 1, right after our Haystack segment. So I hope you'll join him and Chef Jackson Lamb. But now we're going to talk about RanchFreshMeats.com. And I'm telling you, since I met Greg here over the last couple of years and tried all the different products that he has, I'm telling you, it is awesome, awesome meats. And Greg, first of all, thanks for hanging with us. How are you?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, doing great. Thank you.
So this is a good time of year, and one thing you offer is gift boxes.
Right. Yeah, it's a big part of our business. Yeah, big part of our business, because a lot of employers will give their employees a perk. We just finished Thanksgiving and sold a lot of turkeys to corporations, big and small. And now that Christmas is here, others want to give their employees something a little more personal than a gift card.
Good night. Instead of just a gift card or something, man, or a restaurant certificate, what a great idea. And you can kind of make those custom to whatever the corporation may want, right?
Yeah, whatever they want to spend, and then we'll have different ideas for them. And, you know, we have some preset gift boxes already on the website at RanchFreshMeats.com. We have two sizes of a bacon lover's box with Tim Beeler's bacon in there. And then we have steak boxes, big and small. You can get one as small as four steaks. So we have really something for every budget. And then if there's something that people want that we don't have, they can call the office and we can see if we can get it. You know, that happens now and then.
Yeah. You know, one thing, man, I've really appreciated about since we've been doing business together is the packaging on this stuff. Because, man, I don't have to do anything. I can just put it in the freezer. You know what I mean?
Right.
Your packaging is really, really good.
Yeah, we thank you. We do our due diligence to find the best quality USDA plans to package the meat that we buy. So we can't buy meat from just some local rancher that's going to send it down to the county locker where they're going to wrap it in freezer paper.
Sure.
Because that's not going to hold up well or present well. Or, you know, really our frozen meat does not have a shelf life expiration on it. I mean, it'll last years as long as the vacuum is intact in a freezer. No, of course, people are going to eat it before then. But, yeah, we're real proud of our packaging, and the same high-quality packaging you'd see at a retail store is what you can expect from any of our products.
Right.
Yeah.
inflation is hitting everybody in every angle of our lives, especially in the food. I like to say, I don't do the grocery shopping. Thankfully, Victoria does that. But, man, she'll walk in and hold up an item and go, this used to be $3. Now it's $6 or whatever. I mean, costs have just gone through the roof, hasn't it?
Yeah, and they're continuing to climb. We get, you know, about every 6 weeks a price increase from every single one of our suppliers, whether it's beef or bison or pork or lamb, or they're all going up because their inputs are going up, and of course they want to make sure that the producer of that food is, you know, staying sustainable.
Right.
But you know, that being said, there's always deals. And if people will sign up for the weekly newsletter, you know, go to ranchfreshmeats.com and look for the weekly newsletter site up at the bottom of the homepage. Every Monday, we send out a deal. And where do those deals come from? Are we losing margin on something? Well, sometimes we are. As a teaser, like you can, we had to, you know, get a bison tenderloin steak for $1 2 weeks ago. For you get a really high quality steak that's normally $22 was $1. Okay. But you had to spend $100 on everything else.
Because
It was a lost leader, you know.
Sure.
But other times, for example, this happens very often at Tim Beeler's pork plant. It's at the end of their production day, and the boxes that are partials, they can't sell to stores and they can't sell any other way except through us, because we'll buy partials.
Sure.
We'll buy, you know, a box that's got 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 packages instead of 10. And then we get a great deal on those, and then we put that out to everyone that signed up for the newsletter can buy some very high-quality Tim Beeler's pork at half price. It's those partial packages that we've assembled into a box.
Right.
So, and then sometimes Tim will like, hey, we got kind of crazy and we made too much bacon. So we got bacon on sale, so we'll buy it and we'll push it out. So, yeah, there's always deals out there for every plant because stuff happens. You know?
Right, right. Absolutely. Once again, it's ranchfreshmeats.com. You can go on there. You can check out all the gift boxes, as Greg said. He's already got set up. But then if you want to get a custom gift box for some family or whatever, or if you're a business out there and you want to get a gift box for your employees, this is a great way to do it. And right here in the local area, Greg, you guys leave and deliver.
We do. We do, and more. We do deliver to the Denver Front Range, and all that is free. More and more, we're getting busier with the holidays, so we'll just send it UPS 2-day and get to their doorstep that way. And we do a lot of corporate giving, too, where, you know, we just had a guy who wanted to thank 10 of his best clients, so he ordered 10 gift boxes, and then we delivered those to his office so he can hand them out as they come in his office, or how he'll interact with them, you know, the next month. He can say, hey, really appreciate your business this year. Got you some really good, high-quality local steaks from a local company, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, that's just a nice thing for everybody, you know.
Yeah,
so,
no doubt.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool, and we enjoy that. You know, we really enjoy what we do because even though we're small, there's just 5 of us, we're a wholesale meat distributor before we were in e-commerce, and we still sell a lot of wholesale meats. But during COVID, you know, when people couldn't go out, we started delivering to people's houses and kind of pivoting so that people could get, you know, meat, high quality meat, local meat at home without having to buy a half a cow, you know, which, you know, nothing wrong with that. But, you know, you don't want to buy half a cow and spend $3,000 and put it in your freezer or whatever. Mm-hmm. So so that kind of got us going on the direct to consumer segment. But yeah.
And man, what an easy way for folks to do this. And, you know, people should take better advantage of this, because I mean, they can get up, figure out what they're eating per month or whatever, and then just get on a subscription with you.
Right. Yeah, we do have people that just sign up for the subscription, and every month it shows up. And yeah, we try to make doing business easy with us. And their thing that we really feel good about is when you order a box of meat from Ranch Fresh Meats, there's a little flyer in there that tells you a little bit about the families that we buy from. And if you wanted to know more, we'll load you up with information, send you videos they've done. But we're really trying to connect people to where the meat comes from. We're not just, in fact, we're the only retailer online that discloses fully where the meat comes from, that's selling multiple varieties of meat. So you can buy, you know, beef online from a beef producer, let's say in Paonia, but he just sells beef in freezer paper. So that guy, you know where the beef comes from, that family. But if you're buying chicken, beef, bacon, lamb in the same box, every other e-commerce company puts their name on it, hides where it really came from.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you to know.
No, I mean, I've never heard of one until I met you.
You go into Omaha Steaks,
yeah.
You have no idea where that beef came from. You know, so so if people care about that, if they want to know where the meat came from and who produced it, that's why we're here, and that's what we're so proud to do.
Sure. Right. And you didn't just establish a relationship 10 years ago with these people and never go back. I mean, you go back and see all these different rancher families quite a bit, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, I go to the ranch, I go to the farm, and I talk to them all the time, and I go to the USDA plants. So I've been to all the plants. And the reason the plant is so important, and I've worked in 6 different USDA inspected meat plants, is there's a lot that can go wrong when you're slaughtering animals.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
With food safety and how the animals are treated. And some of the worst cases, the worst violations of animals being treated wrong and inhumanely, in my point of view, are at these small little meat lockers where the employees aren't trained. Mm-hmm. And you could have a young man who's just got anger management issues and is taking it out on that cow that won't go through the chute, you know, and he's shocking it with the prod over and over again and kicking it. And that's not allowed in the plants that we
right.
buy from.
Sure.
I mean, so we're really conscientious about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
once again, it's ranchfreshmeats.com, and I'm telling you, you've got to taste this to believe it. Again, for the last couple of years, Greg's been doing shows with us here. I'm telling you, the quality of steaks, chicken, the pork products, the brats, man, I'll just mention those. I've never had anybody yet that didn't take a first bite of those brats, Greg, and then just like look at you like, oh, my gosh, that's the best brat I've ever had in my life. And I'm telling you, they're good,
they're
man.
Very good. There's
really
bacon.
Good.
There's bacon in those brats.
Yeah.
That's why they're so good. But plus, the kind of animals that, you know, I think you can taste and see quality. I mean, mm-hmm. let's talk about other things besides food. But, you know, other things that you buy, sometimes it pays. I mean, it pays to buy something a little more
sure,
expensive.
Absolutely.
You know, rather than the cheapest thing.
Yep.
Rather than the cheapest. You know, sometimes there's a reason why you're paying more,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
You know, with clothes. With guns,
absolutely, yeah,
right,
and everything.
You know, everything. You
all
know?
The gear that we use in the outdoor. I mean, I see guys are out and they're like freezing. You know, it's raining. Their gear. They bought some $39 raincoat or out there.
Yeah,
and they're
yeah.
freezing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, hey, I got my Sitka stuff, and I'm
sure.
warm as I am in this studio right now. You know, so
I think people sometimes don't want to get ripped off, and they think that when I think this way, sometimes when I see something that's more expensive, I think, oh. I'm probably paying for their marketing plan or mm-hmm. for the owner's Mercedes-Benz, you know. So I'm kind of critical sometimes, but really I shouldn't be because, you know, when you're buying quality things,
right.
they cost more to produce.
Sure.
And meat is no different. And retail store buyers, people have to understand, and I know I sell them, they buy on price because they sell on price. They sell on price to get you in the door, and they put an ad out there. Every mm-hmm. Wednesday you got an ad in your mailbox. Here's the things we have on sale. Well, they bought those on price. They're selling on price. They're not buying on quality or how the animals were raised or did the family that produced it make any money producing this.
Right. And, you know, on the chicken side real quick and a couple minutes left, but, I mean, the air-chilled chicken, and, you know, it took a while for me to explain that to a lot of people after you explained it to me, but that chicken is awesome. And, man, we eat a lot of chicken, don't we,
Yeah, it's the number one consumed protein in that space by far.
Oh, really?
By far.
Okay.
Yeah, it passed beef about 10 years ago, and it's never looking back. People, it's just so inexpensive.
Right.
And it's so good.
Now, you're going to have something coming up really special, some sea bass.
Yeah, we got some sea bass in, and so people could go to ranchfreshmeats.com and look for the sea bass that we get from Taryn, who catches our Alaskan sockeye salmon fillets. We've had Taryn on the show before, and yeah, he caught some sea bass this year, but just a couple hundred pounds, and it's very expensive. But these portions of sea bass are the best fish you'll ever eat, and they're line caught by a man we know in Alaska, Taryn. So I would encourage people to go and check out the sea bass.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it now.
It'll be gone. I think I only have a couple hundred pounds, so it'll be gone by Christmas.
Yeah. All right. Good deal. Well, Greg, thanks for all you do for us. And, man, love your show, Food Chat, that you can hear on Wednesdays from 12:31 right here on KLZ 560. And so, man, go to ranchfreshmeats.com. Hey, check out the gift boxes. And also, again, if you're a company out there, want to do some great things for your employee, call Greg over there at Ranch Fresh Meats, and he will get you fixed up and get you a custom package to fit your budget for all of your employees. So, Greg, thanks again.
Thank you, Scott.
You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Crancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at E-Bike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
You're listening to KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters, as mentioned, brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. Always good to have Dr. Shane Stedman with us. Dr. Stedman, how are you, sir?
I am doing well today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was nice and relaxful. You know,
boy, it is, isn't it?
Got to wake up and watched a lot of World Cup, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Who were you pulling for in some of them?
Oof. You know, there's been a lot of upsets.
I know. I don't know that much about soccer, to be quite honest with you, but, man, I know there's been some upsets.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Well, you kind of sometimes want to root for, you know, like Messi, you know, since he's getting older. And,
sure.
You know, maybe Ronaldo. He's getting a little older, but then you see all these upsets, and I think Germany is out, which they're usually one of the top contenders. I'm like, kind of been a really fun, interesting year, but I mean, let's go for the U.S. I mean, hoping the men's they can win tomorrow and get into the knockout stage.
Man, no doubt, absolutely. Well, as mentioned, our show is brought to you each week by Integrated Health Systems, and today, Dr. Stedman wants to talk about kind of some important labs that we should all maybe run, and then getting into the new year. And boy, you know, everybody thinks about getting healthy then, you know, kind of starting that January 1st and starting all those New Year's resolutions. We'll talk about maybe before we get out of here today. But Dr. Stedman, you know, understanding our health, I want to kind of start there, because boy, that word understanding can mean a lot, but I think there's very few of us that really understand our own health.
Yeah, I would agree. I think a lot of people, you probably just kind of live life based on symptoms. And I think we all do that. I mean, I don't say that I'm better than most. I think we all have a tendency to, you know, to say, well, I feel good, so things must be good. It's kind of like we laugh at business owners. A lot of business owners think that the business is good if there's money in the checking account. But just because you have money in the checking account doesn't mean your business is good.
Sure.
You know? And so I think with health, it's, you know, if we don't know the numbers and we don't know our values and we don't know what's going on, you know, then we kind of base everything on our symptoms. And so I think that's a scary way to go, because, you know, things can slowly be falling apart that you had no idea until maybe it became a little too late. And so I think that's why it's really important to kind of know where you're at.
Right. And, you know, this may sound weird, but I mean, all of us, like you said, and I mean, I'm just as guilty as anybody, usually only go to the doctor when we feel bad. And I think if we would make a visit or two during the year when we feel good and we just want to, like we're going to talk about today, maybe get some baseline numbers to understand where we are on getting some good lab work done, could keep you from those times that you feel bad and have to go see the doctor, right?
Oh, yeah. Those are like some of the fun. The most fun that I have is when we have patients that, you know, kind of do like a yearly blood work, and they go, hey, I'm still feeling good, but let's compare, you know, blood work last year to the new blood work this year. And those are fun because you're always on the offensive. You know, it's like mm-hmm. We were talking about soccer when we started. It's like, you know, even when you're playing, when you watch a soccer team, a lot of people that don't know soccer, but you know, it's like you see one team, they'll go on the offensive, and the other team gets thrown back on their heels, and they're constantly on the defensive. And that's, you don't want to do that with your health. You always want to be on the offensive. You want to know what's going on. You want to be proactive. And when you get to that point of being on the offense, I think that makes life easier, because I think when our health, when you see people that come into the office when they're not feeling good, they're in that reactive mode. They're like, dang it, I got to figure this out. Dang it, I don't feel good. Something's going wrong. I got to fix this. I can't live life. You know, and even a patient this morning, I was doing a, you know, we're kind of doing a report of findings, and, you know, the poor guy has got, you know, he's got what looks like diabetes, got low testosterone. He looks like he's anemic, you know, and he goes, no wonder why I feel so bad.
Man.
But now we're in this like cleanup mode. Like, we got to fix things. And so now we got to get him to a point where he can be proactive and he could be on the offense. But right now we're in definitely reactive mode. We got to fix a lot of things and make a lot of changes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we've used this word a lot over the few years of doing the show here, and that word is baseline. And we've talked about it in dealing with the brain. We've talked about it in a lot of the areas of our overall health. But why is knowing our baseline, and we'll kind of direct that now toward lab work, why is that important for us to know, and probably more important for you to know about us?
Because the trends, you got to know your trends. And I'll give some examples. I mean, if you have, let's say, blood sugar, and blood sugar should be, you know, the top number should be really no more than 99. But let's say that you could look over the years and you're at 90, and then you're 98, and then you're 102. Well, now you're kind of in that pre-diabetic number. And then all of a sudden you hit like 120. Well, you can start seeing those trends where, like, you're trending towards diabetes. Like, and if you can fix that early on, it's easier to fix. There's other trends, like, you know, we can talk about, you know, we've been talking about, you know, testosterone for the, you know, this past month of November, you know, and testosterone, you know, should be at a certain level. But if you notice that, you know, over time it's getting lower and lower and lower, you can make a change before you start going too far. Or we can look at things like cholesterol. I mean, it's interesting how, you know, cholesterol should be at like 200, and most people will say, oh my gosh, I'm at 230 or 280 or whatever that number is. But if you went from like 250 all the way down to 120, that's a red flag. And so to have these kind of baseline tests, now you can start comparing. And even when patients come in that have a baseline, and then they bring me like blood work, especially when you do like 9 News, for instance, you know, they do a great job at, you know, providing a blood screen.
Oh, those health fairs they do.
Yeah. That's a great time to get those kind of baselines too. And so when people bring me their like nine health fair, you know, blood work, and I get to see over the past, you know, 5 to 10 years, you get to see those trends. And it's really sometimes interesting. You go, hey, what was going on in 2017? And they're like, oh my gosh, that was a terrible year. Blah 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 blah. And you're like, oh, I can totally see, like, your blood work looked like it didn't look super clean, and then all of a sudden the next year it cleaned back up. And so having that baseline, it really gives you an idea to look at trends, where you're at, where we're going, where have you been. But you don't have that if you don't have a baseline.
Right, absolutely. Again, Dr. Shane Steadman is with us, Integrated Health Systems. Their number is 303-781-5617. So, you know, we've also used this term, our biometrics. So monitoring those over time and doing that is really going to give us a great picture of our health. And again, help us possibly stay out of some dangerous situations, you know, stroke, diabetes, like you mentioned with this other patient. So what are we talking about when we talk about our health biometrics?
So biometrics are different metrics or different measuring tools. You know, so to name a few, I mean, we've been talking about blood work. So blood work is a great biometric. We could also look at hormones, you know, just what are hormone levels. That's a good biometric. One that you and I have talked about on the show before is like a coronary calcium score. Mm-hmm. You know, that measures like the plaquing in the arteries, especially around the heart. So to have, like, I had a lady that came in from out of town, and she actually wanted to get that done, and where she lives, that's not available. So, you know, there's a place here in town, so we had that done. She was all zeros. So I was like, dang, that's awesome. Like, zero plaque in all her arteries. What a great biometric, because she could rerun that test in 5 years, maybe 10 years, you know, and see, has there been any change? it goes back to having a baseline. But that's a biometric, is like a coronary calcium score. Getting a Doppler ultrasound on your carotids could be a biometric. Having a PSA done for prostate health, that could be biometric. So it's having some of these markers of your health to see how well you're doing. I think another good one is, we do this in the office, but it's through Cleveland Heart Labs. And it's a blood test that tells you, like, what's your plaque numbers, what are your inflammatory numbers towards your arteries, you know, and so you can really look at, like, almost like this heart disease marker, and that's a great biometric, especially if you have a family history of heart disease. And so these biometrics are really an important feature that we need to, like, know what's going on. And I think it's crazy that we can have we can have metrics for our thermostat and our energy.
Right.
We have metrics for our car, we have metrics for our computer. Geez, we have a metrics for how much we're on our phone every Sunday.
I know.
A little ding.
Yeah.
You've been on your phone, it's increased 7% this last week. We have metrics for everything except our health, which is crazy because we have to have this body for a very long time to use our phones, but we'll spend more time looking at metrics on our phone than we will on our body.
Yeah, man, you're 100% right. All right, so let's kind of start with the labs. Now, it seems like, you know, when we talk about labs, those were, before I met you, there was a lot of things that I had never even heard of, really, from a primary care doc that they didn't run. And so I guess that's just our healthcare system that, you know, they don't run some of these things. So let's kind of talk maybe that baseline lab work of what most people get at your primary care doc. And then you just mentioned a couple there of some others you can do. But what are some others then that are missing?
Yeah, so, and I think the struggle that people have when you get into the traditional system is that I think insurance dictates a lot. You know, so I mean, I've had docs tell me, well, I can't run that because insurance won't pay for that, or I can't run that because I don't have a diagnosis to justify running it, or we don't have a symptom to justify running that. Or even like thyroid. I think I had a doctor a couple weeks ago, you know, tell his patient, well, if the TSH is high, then I'll run the other markers, but insurance won't pay for it if the TSH is not high. So you sometimes run into how much insurance dictates on reimbursement, and so the doctors aren't going to run stuff that's not reimbursed. So that's kind of when you get outside that traditional model and you get into, like, you know, the functional medicine practices, holistic, concierge, boutique practices, you know, we have a lot more freedom because we don't have insurance dictating what we can and cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at, like, blood work, you want to look at things like, you know, red blood cells and white blood cells, because that gives us an idea of our immune system, and it gives us an idea for anemic. And there's a lot, there's more, but these are some of the kind of the high surfacey things to look at. And then we look at like all your chemistry stuff, so like sodium, potassium, and chloride, and this can give us ideas of, you know, electrolytes. Actually, even like gut function, because you have to have some absorption. Then we can look at liver and gallbladder and kidney markers. Those are great to have baselines on just in case things start to go south.
Right.
And then you start looking at some of your, well, iron is another good one. I think that's one of the most important because there's so many people that have low iron that have never been tested. So looking at iron and then thyroid. And then you start looking at some of your inflammatory markers, and they look at things like CRP, which is for the heart, homocysteine, which looks at the brain, you know, uric acid, which people put with gout, fibrinogen, which looks at your clotting factors. So those are some of those things that you, if you ever get a doc that says, what would you like ran? Just say, I want to start looking at, you know, liver, kidney, thyroid, immune, chemistry, white blood cells, red blood cells, you know, and I know people are probably in their car going like, wait, slow down, slow down, slow down. But I think you want to look at each of these organs and glands,
yep.
You know, because we make sure that our organ systems are working. We want to make sure our glands are working. And so if you kind of start running through those systems, that's what you kind of want your baseline blood work to really show you. And I think, and then you get in, as you get older, hormones are great because, I mean, hormones, I mean, so many people have hormone issues. I mean, I think we talk about this every day in the office, just about, but how many people have hormone issues? You look at guys in like prostate, and so sometimes just measuring PSA, you know, might be a good baseline. So you just want to start going through all those different hormone systems, and then you want to go into your inflammatory markers because we want to keep our inflammation down because that's That seems to be like the key to a lot of dysfunction is inflammation.
Sure. And you know, well, that was my next question. When you talk about these inflammatory markers, we hear that so much about inflammation. What does that mean inside our body, really?
So when you get into inflammation, that's it's really, you don't want your immune system getting involved into your daily activities. So inflammation is when you start getting these immune messengers that kind of start sounding the alarm. It's like if you constantly have the National Guard present and the firefighters are present. I mean, if you know, and the police system and the arm, as if everybody's constantly like in a city, let's say, that's inflammatory because now you got, you know, that means there's something's going on, because if there was nothing going on, you wouldn't see all your, like, you know, National Guard and police force and stuff like that. So that tells you there's something going on in the body that you're trying to either put out the fire, you're trying to contain, you're trying to eliminate, you're trying to kill. And so in order to do those things, you have to release these immune messengers, and those immune messengers, they start to create, you know, inflammatory processes. And it's to help you. Just like if all of a sudden you had the National Guard all over the place, and police force and army and paramedics and EMTs and firefighters, if they're all over the city, that means there's something going on, and thank goodness they're there, but it's also just creating stress and chaos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you see within the body. Now, if this is going on, you know, for, you know, like you catch, you know, a flu that's going around right now, it's like you catch that and you fight it off and you move on, that's appropriate. But if this is going on for months and months and years, Things aren't going well, and that's where inflammation seems to be like a very central feature for a lot of conditions. And so we got to keep that inflammation down, but we got to find out what's driving it.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Once again, it's Dr. Shane Steadman, Integrated Health Systems. Their number is 303-781-5617. And Dr. Steadman's been kind enough to offer our listeners to Your Health Matters and a free initial consult. So, you know, don't wait till January. I mean, why do that? Hey, take control now. Hey, you know what, Dr. Steadman, I want to maybe we can evolve into here just a little bit, unless there's something else you want to cover on the labs, about, you know, these whole idea of these resolutions, because many, many, many times they just do not work. And one article I was looking at this morning, kind of preparing for the show, it talked about this, and it said, you know, no self-monitoring. So in other words, you know, no coach there to help you, no getting checked out and having some, you know, responsibility back to someone helping you. And I think that's just a big key in this with these resolutions and weight loss especially, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, resolutions can be good, but, yeah, accountability I think is kind of the term that comes to mind as you're talking, is what's the accountability? And I think anytime you get into any kind of coach, you know, whether it be sports, right, there's accountability to show up every day and to work hard and do things you don't want to do sometimes, you know?
Sure.
If you have a life coach, a business coach, a health coach, you know, all these different types of coaches, I think are really important because they keep you accountable. And so I think if you're going to go into the new year with resolutions, then you need an accountability person. And I think that's where, you know, in this office, which I know is different than traditional medicine, I think they would love to do more of that, but the system doesn't allow it. But I think when you have like these check-ins that are more frequent than every 3 to 6 months, you know, but when you have frequent check-ins, then you can say like, how was your week? How did you do? How did you feel? How can I help? You know, that's where the accountability comes in. I mean, and you can have a spouse that is accountable. You can have a sibling. You can have a parent. You can have somebody who's accountable, but I would probably guess that most of these resolutions fail because when you're trying to do things on your own with your own motivation, that becomes really hard as soon as life hits you upside the head again.
Yeah, no doubt.
And everything just falls apart. And so, you know, I think in here, when we're successful with patients, I really do think it comes down to, I think, advocating and being accountable, you know, both ways to patients and saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what you're going to do. You know, I'm going to stick to my guns. You stick to your guns, and we're going to see this through together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where these resolutions do come to fruition, whether it's like a resolution in January 1st or somebody has a resolution in September. You know, it's like you know, you've got to have accountability. I mean, even if you said, hey, starting December 1st, I'm going to eat really healthy all through the holiday season, which is a great idea, but man, you got to have some accountability because you're going to have, you know, hot cocoa and peppermint bark and, you know, all these things are going to be like in your line of sight. You know, it's like, okay, how do you fight against that? How do you stay true to your goals? And I think you got to have accountability.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it seems like weight, and just kind of focus on that for a minute, it sure comes on quickly, but wow, is it ever hard to lose, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It is so hard to lose. I was reading an article a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about how, I think, like, body fat, you know, let's say you're at 30% body fat, and you wanted to get down to 23%. You know, that you definitely have to, like, work really hard in that you can expect an average of, like, 1% a month. So if you're doing something like that, it would take you 7 months of just being diligent, which mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my God, that's, like, daunting. You know?
I know.
And it's just like, okay, you know, it's like, I don't know. So, I mean, it's like anything, right? It's so easy for dysfunction to occur, and it's so hard to regain control. I mean, my daughter and I talk about this a lot. It's like, you know, it's easy to maintain your grades than it is to go from an A to a C and then try to climb back up to an A. Mm-hmm. It is so hard. Or, you know, and she plays competitive soccer. It's like, you know, it was really easy for some people who went to the top. It's easy to maintain that. But if you slip back a little bit, then you had to climb your way back up, you know, to the first team or the second team or whatever that is. And it's just, I think that's how life is. It's like, if you slip, it is really hard to get back up the hill. You know, it's so easy to slide down. It's like the chutes and ladders game. You know, it's like, yeah. It's easy to slide all the way back down to the bottom of the board. You had to climb all the way back up again. And I think that's why it's important to, like, get on your health and stay on your A game. And it's just hard to climb that hill by yourself. You just need that support and weight and health and all this stuff come into play.
Sure. What is really a healthy weight loss per week that someone should look at? Because, I mean, hey, we all love the ads we see, you know, lose, you know, 30 pounds in 30 days, no exercise, no nothing, all that. But, I mean, and there are some things you can do that maybe drop it real quick, but, boy, the success stories of that lasting are very few, aren't they?
They really are. I mean, even if you looked at some of those shows, those weight loss shows, I mean, if you follow any of those people, you know, I think a good majority of them went back to where they were. So usually a good rule of thumb is about a pound to a pound and a half a week is considered good weight loss. I mean, obviously if you make a drastic change, like, you know, when we do stuff where we, you know, we'll do like a change to their diet, we'll add some supplements, you know, and I mean, I can get somebody to probably lose 10, 20 pounds, you know, within 30 days, you know, but that's also because we're making changes and I'm also changing their inflammation. I'm changing the blood sugar, et cetera, et cetera. But I think when people are doing stuff on their own, what you tend to see is about a pound, pound and a half a week, which doesn't sound like a lot. But if you say, hey, in 30 days, I can lose 4 to 6. Mm-hmm. Well, then do 60 days, that's 8 to 12. And if I do, you know, 3 months of that, you know, then we're looking at, you know, more. So it actually builds on itself that if you stuck to it, you know, over the course of, let's say, 6 months, and you're averaging a pound a week, you know, that's 24, 25 pounds, maybe 30 pounds. And that's not bad because if somebody is 200 pounds and they wanted to drop down, I mean, that's 170. And in 6 months, you would be happy with that. And that'd be a slow weight because your body has to acclimate and your body has a set point. And so what you have to do is you have to drop that weight, you know, within a healthy reason. And then you have to create a set point. So that new set point is where your body's want to go. But if you drop and you start yo-yoing and you don't have a set point, you're going to go back to your original set point, if that makes sense. You have to maintain a set point for a given amount of time so your body says, okay, here's our new normal. And so that's why you can't do those yo-yos. They kind of end up, you know, crashing and burning at the end of the day. So you want to kind of like slow and steady. So if if they tell you that, hey, about a pound of body fat percentage comes off a month, and you're about a pound to a pound and a half a week, that actually kind of falls in line with slow and steady is what wins the race, but it's really hard when you're doing stuff all by yourself and if you're all alone and you have no accountability to it.
No, absolutely. All right, last couple of minutes here, but let's, you know, I just want to challenge everybody to invest in themselves, invest in their health, because once you get, you know, type 2 diabetes or have a stroke, whatever, you're going to be spending the money then. So, and I know it's tough. Hey, holidays come with Christmas and all, and buying gifts, all the different things, travel, all the things you may be needing to do. And you may think, hey, right now isn't a good time for me to spend, you know, $200, $300, $400, $500 on investing in my health. But thinking about what that could mean for them long term would be huge. So, and I know you do a lot of different, you know, labs. So just giving an idea, someone can get some good blood work for approximately how much?
I mean, you can get really, really good blood work for like $150 to $200.
Yeah, man.
You know, I mean, you can do that. And then I think, you know, even I would even challenge people if you could do it. And it's hard during the month of December. But I mean, even if you could, you know, I mean, I would love to see you. But if you get into somebody and say, okay, let's check me out in December so that I have a plan going into January, that's actually the best idea. Instead of in January, you're like, ooh, I got to get in with somebody. And now you're like a couple weeks to get in and then a couple weeks to get your blood work, you know, follow up. And now you're sitting into like the end of January going, okay, now I finally have a plan. You probably should like get checked out now, get evaluated now, and then have your plan to start at the new year. That would be perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, it's an initial free consult with Dr. Stedman and his team, 303-781-5617. And they're located in the Englewood area there, just off of Hamden and Clarkson. And, again, great time to get in here, get a hold of what's going on with you, meet Dr. Stedman and his team. And, hey, just see what's a good fit for you. But I promise you, having them to guide you and help you, and having someone like Dr. Stedman that has done this for many, many years and helped many, many patients would be an excellent thing, just to invest in your health just a little bit. Now, last thing I want to touch on is your IV therapy that you do. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. IV therapy is so fun. So we can do, you know, I think if people are looking for IVs, you know, anywhere from like a simple hydration, you know, IV could be good. There's things called like Myers cocktails or those types of IVs where you can like help with like energy and adrenal function. But then probably one that's one of our favorites more than called the NAD, which is becoming really big. But that's really good for like kind of turning on the mitochondria and turning on the cells. And it's really good for like energy. I mean, there's even like talks and research out there on depression, brain function, brain fog, stamina, all those different things. So it's kind of fun to do IVs. We kind of put that together with some of our, you know, different patients and what we're trying to accomplish. But, man, a quick way to get stuff to go straight into your body and kind of bypass your digestive tract because, you know, it's not absorbing all that. So to put it straight into your bloodstream is kind of a great way to get some nutrition and a great way to kind of jumpstart, you know, getting people back to health.
Yep, absolutely. Dr. Stedman, I know you're busy. We always appreciate your time, sir, and we look forward to our visit next week.
All right, have a great one.
All right, you as well. That's Dr. Shane Stedman. Once again, it's Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. Thanks for being with us today for Your Health Matters.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation, 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.